as most of the listeners to this show know, I am very, very opposed to the wall for a variety of reasons, among others because I think it's a sign of defeat, it's a sign of cowardice, it's a sign of lack of self-esteem and a backbone. It's a sign of giving up on American culture and giving up on American sense of life and giving up on America. It's building a wall to protect us from the evil outside because we're so weak, we can't handle the evil outside. And people always come back to me with, but what about the wall in Israel? You're a hypocrite because you support the wall in Israel and you don't support the wall in America. Well, first, who said I support the wall in Israel? Clear that I do. Because it depends what wall we're talking about. So Israel has four walls. So I'm going to go through the walls and describe them. Four walls. They have a wall on the northern border with Lebanon that was installed in many phases over many years, but as to prevent originally PLO, later Hezbollah, infiltrating into Israel easily, kidnapping people, murdering people, butchering people. Famous case when they took a whole school bus hostage. A whole bunch of school children got killed. I remember this because I was a kid in those days. I remember listening to the radio as the whole thing was evolving and happening. Blood in the streets, right? So you build a fence, and it's not a wall, it's a fence, to prevent people from coming in to butcher you. Now, I'm not a big fan of even that wall. I happen to believe the Israeli military should go into the southern Lebanon and annihilate Hezbollah, destroy it from the ground up, its infrastructure, its soldiers, its missiles, everything about it. They need to occupy their territory for as long as it takes and be brutal and uncompromising about it. And if they did that, you wouldn't need a wall. You wouldn't need one because they would stop coming into Israel and killing us. And in the few periods in which Israel did that, it was relatively peaceful on the northern border. But in the periods where Israel doesn't do it, when we drop leaflets before we bomb, when we tell them we're coming, when we don't use the full military force, when we're more concerned about Lebanese dying than Israelis dying, then yeah, it emboldens the enemy and they get stronger and they attack you more and you need to build a fence to protect yourself. Second wall is on the Golan Heights. There is now a fence. It's a new fence. Until recently, it didn't exist. And the reason there's a fence now is that at some point, Bashar Assad figured out during the Civil War that one way to distract attention from what he was doing by killing his own people was to rally all the Palestinians in Syria, put them on the border with Israel, and basically push them over the border and see what Israel did. Landed up shooting some of them to prevent them from crossing the border, which didn't do well in the press, was not very... So what did Israel do in order to prevent this from continuing to happen? They built a fence to prevent these people from crossing over, because why do they want to cross over? They want to cross over in order to, again, kill Israelis or occupy land or so on. But it's clearly an aggressive, rights-violating move, right, by people who want to do violence to your own kind. So yeah, they built a fence there to prevent them from. Third wall. Here there is a wall. This is the one place there is a wall. There's a wall. If you fly over certain parts of Israel, you'll see a wall that separates parts of the West Bank from the rest of Israel. It's partially fence, partially wall, partially there's nothing. So it's not even a very complete wall, full of holes. And here the idea was to separate the Palestinians from the Israelis. And here it was done at the end of the Second Intifada. It was interesting because it was done after the Intifada. It wasn't done during the Intifada. And the idea was the Second Intifada, buses were blowing up in Israel, suicide bombings everywhere. It was a real disaster. And the idea was to separate the two populations and make it really hard for the Palestinians to get into Israel and, you know, bomb and destroy. So first, this is not about migration. This is all about security. It's about clearly people trying to kill you and you building a wall to defend yourself. Again, I'm against this wall. I think it's a sign of Israel's defeat. I think it's giving up. The Second Intifada was not stopped by building the wall. The Second Intifada was stopped by Israel getting tough with the Palestinians, actually going into their cities, actually killing people, actually convincing the Palestinians who did not want to die to work with the Israelis in order to stop the Intifada. Intifada ended not because of a wall. The Intifada ended because of the Israeli military force forcing itself on the Palestinians and destroying their capacity and their will to continue to blow themselves up. Has the war prevented terrorism in Israel? There's almost no evidence to suggest that the answer is yes. When there are periods in which the Palestinians decide that they want to commit terrorist activities against Israel, they find a way into Israel. There being a several, one in Tel Aviv, actually, the Ayn Rand Center Israel has an office in a building. At the bottom of the building, there's this really pretty marketplace with lots of restaurants and stalls and a really fabulous place to hang out. And a year ago, two Palestinians walked in there with semi-automatic weapons and started shooting up the place. Just after Boaz, who's here at the conference, who represents Ayn Rand in Israel, had left the building. Luckily, he wasn't there. Right? And they started shooting people up, and I can't show how many people they killed. Palestinians from the West Bank, they got in somehow. When there were these knifing and the cars driving over people that now are done in London and Nice. In Nice before, that they learned from the Palestinians who were doing it in Israel. How did they get to Israel? Well, they found a way around the wall. Walls don't protect you. They never have. They never will. They never have throughout history. They don't protect you from terrorism. They don't stop the terrorists. The reason there's no terrorism today is because right now, the Palestinian Authority and Hamas are not interested in terrorism. They have other goals. They're fighting among each other. They've got other political plans. They think they're going to manipulate the Israelis into giving them more. And there are all kinds of reasons why they don't want to have terrorism right now. So they're not terrorism right now. But when they flip the switch and they decide they do want terrorism, the wall will not stop. They'll dig under it. They'll go over it. They'll go around it. Indeed, somebody in Israel just this last trip told me a story that he has these contract workers working on a house. And he said they're all Palestinians from the West Bank, illegally in Israel, working. And somebody called the police. So police came, put them in a van, and shipped them back to the West Bank. He said in less than 12 hours, they were back. Same guys, working in the same place, building the same stuff. There's nothing really stopping Palestinians from coming from the West Bank into Israel if they really want to do it, for terrorist activity or for productive activity. So I'm against that wall. I think that wall is a travesty. I look at that wall and I say, that's Israel defeating itself. Because instead of actually dealing with the war that they're engaged in Israel, and there'll be a talk by Ilan Juneau later this week about the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, instead of actually dealing with the situation, they are building walls, which is a sign of defeat and giving up and segregation. And I think that's the wrong strategy from the beginning. Okay, then there's a fourth wall. And this is the wall that the anti-immigration people get all excited about. Because this is a wall along Israeli desert with Sinai, the border with Egypt, along the Sinai. Now, there's a period in the late 2000s where Africans were crossing the desert, entering into Egypt, crossing Egypt, coming into the Sinai, and coming into Israel to work. Not infiltrate, not terrorists, they were just coming to work. And there's still a lot of them in Israel. You can go to certain parts of Tel Aviv, and you can see a lot of them. Partially you can tell because they're black, right? They're from sub-Saharan Africa. Some of them are sub-Saharan Africa. And they came to work in Israel. And there was a big uproar, just like here, illegal immigrants, and they're taking our jobs and all this stuff. I'll talk about taking our jobs at the talk I do on Thursday. But there was a big uproar about this, and people said, oh, we need a wall, we need to stop them. And the Israeli government said, yeah, we'll build a wall, we'll stop them. And they didn't build a wall, and nothing happened. And they rounded some of them up and deported them once in a while, but they didn't do anything about building a wall. And then some terrorists crossed over from the Sinai into the Negev, into the southern Israel desert, and killed a bunch of Israelis in a terrorist attack. And guess what happened? A wall was built. So, yeah, the wall is there supposedly to stop illegal immigration into Israel. But the wall isn't there to really stop illegal immigration into Israel. The wall is really there to protect Israel from terrorists who come in from the Sinai. There's a huge base of terrorism in the Sinai now. There's an ISIS of the Sinai Peninsula, they call themselves. Egypt keeps bombing them and trying to destroy them. You never hear about that because when Arabs kill Arabs, that doesn't make the news. When Israelis, when Jews and Israelis or the West kills Arabs, then you hear about it. But when they kill each other, we don't hear about it. It was a wall built in order to protect Israel from terrorists, which is a legitimate function of government. Now, my critics will argue, but Iran, Israel doesn't have open immigration. Yeah, it doesn't. Because the fact is that Israel is a country under siege. The fact is Israel's fighting for its life every single day. Israel is not a normal place. There's nothing similar about Israel in America in terms of the physical existential threat that they face. And if Israel opened its borders, yeah, it would be wiped out. So people say, what about Mexican immigrants into Israel? Yeah, as if that would happen, right? Now, first, let me say that if you go to Israel, you will find many, many, not Mexicans, too far for them, Filipinos, Indians, and Thais. Hundreds of thousands of them in Israel. They're on short-term work visas that we don't do in the United States anymore, but Israel does. And they do all the jobs Palestinians used to do before they started killing Israelis. So a lot of the manual labor is done in Israel by these workers. Well, I'm all for giving those work permits. I think it's great. I wish we did that in the United States. Expand the work permit deal in the U.S. Thousands of them, all over, doing. They do a lot of the nursing, a lot of the treating older people who have disabilities. They do a lot of the sanitary work, a lot of the stuff that Israelis don't want to do. Yeah, because. You know, there's this joke in Israel. A grandfather and a grandson are walking, and the grandfather, you know, is this old guy, and he says, "You know, you see, son, I built this building, and you know, I was a construction guy, and I built that building, and you know, here, this is neighborhood I worked in that." And the kid turns to the grandfather and says, "I didn't know you were an Arab once," right? Because the manual labor in Israel was typically done by Arabs, and to a large extent done by Palestinians in the past, and now it's done by whoever will do the work, and they import them because they're not there, right? And when I was in Israel before 1987, all that work was done by Palestinians. A million Palestinians went to sleep inside Israel every single night. But Israel's under siege, so it needs a population willing to fight. It needs a population willing to defend itself. And the fact is that the only people actually willing to go fight for Israel are Jews. Because it's the one place in the entire world where there's no anti-Semitism, although you could argue that Jews are often the most anti-Semitic people in the world. Jews hate Jews more than anybody else. The only people who are actually willing to fight to preserve, you know, to protect them from this just slaughter are the Jews. So they let them in. Now, in an ideal world, in our laissez-faire capitalist heaven, kingdom of God or whatever, right? Should Israel have open immigration? Yeah, it should, just like every other country. There should not be such a thing as a Jewish state any more than there should be a white state or Christian state or anything like that. Yeah, we're not there. We're not there. And because of Israel's particular condition, it should limit immigration in a way that makes it possible for them to defend themselves from a physical existential threat. Luckily, in the United States, we don't face that. The Canadians are not invading. I think we need more Canadians to come to America. I wish we had easier ways for Canadians to cross the border and come and work in the United States. I think we'd get more of those really good, hardworking, very pleasant, smiling Canadians coming over and bringing their great productiveness to America. My view is the Mexicans are not coming here to destroy America. There's an existential threat. Maybe there's a threat. There's a violent threat by a very tiny group of people. They will find a way into America, just like the Palestinians. If they want to commit terrorist attacks in Israel, they will find a way to Israel, whether we build a wall or not. You want to destroy the threat of the jihadis against America? Well, that was the first half of the show. Go to where they live and crush them. Crush their sources of financing, crush their intellectual inspiration, crush their theological inspiration, and they will stop. You don't do it by building walls and pretending like, oh my God, you know, as if there's a Muslim invasion in America. There might be a Muslim invasion in Europe. You can debate that, and you can hear my shows about what I think about Muslims in Europe. But there still needs no Muslim invasion in America. So stop being so afraid. All right, so that's my brief comments on an Israeli wall. All right, so again, all a consequence, in my view, of lack of self-esteem, lack of a moral backbone, lack of a proper morality of self-interest, lack of what, of really defending yourself and standing up for yourself, both in Israel and in the United States. That what leads to fear, and fear leads to wanting to shield yourself, and that's what leads to building walls. All right, thank you all. Thank you guys for listening online. I hope you have a great week.